I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. But the fact of the matter is we should never, ever, ever have focused on the Manager of the Month award. Oh, no!
You fool, who's sort of Charlotte Green. He's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that. Huh?
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons. See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Since the award drop, Middlesbrough 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1, Middlesbrough 2, Derby County 2, Tottenham Hotspur 2, Middlesbrough 1, Fulham 1, Middlesbrough 0, and then, of course, Leo gets sent off after the 1-1 draw with Lukas Jukkovic's Birmingham City.
The curse is a curse.
Well, it is, isn't it? I mean, we thought it's all going splendidly well, and now. Six games coming up in February, the month thereupon, which is about to launch.
Packed month.
Critical in so many ways. Blackburn, Brentford, Wigan, Luton and Barnsley. And, of course, we wrap up the month on the 26th, our home game to that side that are currently top of the table. Well, welcome back, Mocker. So good to see that he's
Stuart Downing as well, of course.
Stuart Downing, yes.
Playing really well.
Yep. So,
and yes, as you I'm probably about to say, I'm anticipating Blackburn are doing really well at the moment, aren't they?
Well,
hammered Sheffield Wednesday at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
And beat QPR midweek.
Interesting in terms of the whole development. Welcome, by the way, to the podcast companion to issue 603 of the fantastic Fly Me to the Moon package. I'm not going to say. Oh, because actually it's been done a deadline transfer day. But Patrick Roberts is injured as well.
I think that factor and other injuries and players, a small squad finally hitting the wall, really, has got more to do with than the curse of the Manager of the Month, I feel personally. And I think you could feel it in that week where we played two games in London.
I blame the fact that Tottenham wouldn't even let the lads actually have their training ground there to go to Crystal Palace. As Jonathan Woodgate actually said, anybody's welcome to actually use Barra's excellent facilities from that point of view. So I think there's a bit of tension there, which might have a little bit of payback in years to come.
Do you think Jose was involved in that?
Well, what is it? Does he just want Borough players actually to use the comfortable duvets that are actually there? I mean, he was very important with that side of things. We were such on a high. I just actually cite probably one of the best quotes of the season, actually, when I was perusing through issue 602. And it was the classic line from... a young man who was speaking to Neil Weldon, Jude, age 10,
yes.
Who actually said, "I don't think we'll catch Leeds and West Brom, but we will now make the playoffs." You know, it was...
that's our optimism.
Positive thing from that
movie.
And, of course, the classic line about, "Have you ever worn Lionel Blair's?" to Leo Perkovic. You know, things were looking really good. That was after, obviously, he was actually chanting Rudy, 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 Rudy.
Yes.
You know, there were all kinds of other things there. And actually, the replay against Tottenham, you were there, Rob.
I was.
But jaws dropping, suddenly, what? I mean, I know he used to play for Jose Mourinho. But what was Mejias doing in terms of that sort of... I mean, it was almost, dare I say it, Bravo-esque.
Yes, it was. It was a terrible start. Obviously, it settled their nerves right away. We gifted them a second goal. I think the second goal we were finally caught out with midfielders playing as defenders because we had a couple of players trying to play out from the back in a way that defenders would have just hoofed it. And I was just only pleased really that we got that goal in the second half, because it was obviously quite flat at that point, but they got the goal in the second half from George Saville, well taken, and then at least made a show of it at the end, and that was good from all those fans that made the trip, and then had to make the trip again.
Well, that's true, because obviously the players actually stayed over in London for the whole sort of package.
I actually went to the press conference, and there was like two of us at the press conference because obviously it was in London, and it was the hotel that they were about to stop at, and it was almost like a one-to-one with Jonathan Woodgate. It was great. amusing. But the reason I bring it up, Alex, is he sometimes managers try to dupe the opposition at press conferences and say false things. But what he could see that wasn't false was he said many times you could see he was concerned that for particularly the younger players that they were getting tired. He said about Jed Spence, if he had any other right back, he'd have rested Jed Spence.
He did again extremely well. He did. And performed very commendably.
But you could see at Fulham. I don't know whether you saw it, but you could see that the results. He was tired by Fulham, and Coulson had been rested for the Spurs game, and he came back against Fulham, but he looked tired defending. And I know that he had a cold that week as well. So, and it's great to have a small squad, but when a lot of them are young players in the first season, ideally you don't want them to play like three games in a week.
Nevertheless, a 1-0 defeat against Fulham didn't help matters. It would have been nice if things had actually gone our way. And then there must have been a thought with literally 9 minutes to go when Ashley Fletcher scores against Birmingham that things were going to actually get sorted out. And of course, Jutkovic, who'd done the thing earlier, has that goal disallowed. So,
well, you know, I've read reports about had that goal disallowed, but the referee had actually blown the whistle before the cross was put in. Some of the players from both sides had stopped playing, so I don't know. Afterwards, you were thinking he did blow the whistle, didn't he? He turned around and pointed towards us, and it was a head injury. He wasn't badly hurt.
It's going to cause a touchline flare up. It's going to cause a riot.
That's right. Well, their keeper Lee Camp was one of the people that was desperately calling for medical attention, because you could see in the replays his head's jerked back. Whether it was a foul or not, it looks like he could have been hurt, and I'm sure he went down and bang. He was probably winded or whatever. So that they did have to stop the match, and because some of the players weren't playing, how can you say that was a goal? Also, I think Jonathan Woodgate pointed out it was offside as well. So there was quite a few reasons. But yes, it was a big flare up on the touchline, and it was. I suppose you could say it was a bit of excitement at the end. But you have to say that both teams were going for the winner at that point. It wasn't like Middlesbrough were looking for some excuse.
Well, I mean, I hate the phrase, but we have used it a couple of times, mid-table mediocrity, but 10 points off the top, 10 points off the bottom, kind of nicely. It actually sounds worse being in 17th position than it actually is, but 35 points. Bristol City have 47, so 12 points off the playoffs, and Wigan Athletic, of course, on 26.
I do think we can compare it to last season. If you remember the end of the January transfer window, and we were desperate to sign players to keep our promotion to give us a chance of a push towards the playoffs. And do you remember that Tony Pulis ended up taking the players down the pub because we didn't sign anybody at all, did we? And it was quite sort of desperate kind of press conference after that, and the atmosphere wasn't great. But the one sort of saving grace with the mid-table mediocrity is there isn't that pressure. But we are being linked. It does appear that we might be signing players today. And they're quite sort of interesting players. Obviously, we've already brought a couple of loans in, and we've signed a goalkeeper. So and often it's good when you bring in people that are quite left field that are not being mentioned.
Certainly, Nemecha might deserve a bit of a run out.
I think so.
Patrick Roberts, so
sadly, 2 months out. He was looking really good.
A hamstring, or if you're a London stadium supporter, hamstring.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk more about Blackburn Rovers, who currently sit in 10th position in the Championship with 43 points amassed so far. It's not going to be an easy game. What is? We will reflect on a few other sort of key things, and as I say, those deadline signings. Let's go into the break with a bit of a positivity thing, though. Tavernier has signed an extended contract.
Yeah.
So, there we are. It's not all doom and gloom.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
In today's crowded world, It's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245 grams of magnesium, 300
grams of zinc. Hang on, slow down.
And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Flying at the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Time to go straight into Leap Year. And there's something special about Leap Year, which we'll find about now, after we'll deliver Jim Flynn's latest awesome little piece. Okay. Are you ready, Rob, for Sunday, the 29th of February, 2004?
Was the day Borough fans had long yearned for. There in the Principality Stadium of Wales
came an end to their seemingly interminable footballing travails that magical Sunday proved to be.
The most momentous day in the club's history.
There was finally an answer to supporters' prayers when Borough won their first major trophy in 128 years.
Overjoyed fans who had journeyed more in hope than expectation gave triumphant Borough a glorious ovation.
Years of disappointment, heartache and despair evaporated into the dark Welsh air.
Bolo Zenden and Job, Joseph Desiree, were the architects of Borough's historic victory.
Playing like Superman inspired into an early two-goal lead, Borough they fired.
An uncharacteristic Mark Schwarzer slip was thankfully a temporary heart-stopping blip.
Playing glorious football as if for fun, brilliant Borough put the Trotters on the run.
Until the final whistle and the Carling Cup was won, 2004 the glorious leap year.
That sure saw Borough end years of despair. Thank you, Jim Flynn, again.
Thank
you. Worked the magic. We had a couple of little glitches there, but call it sort of just fatigue and mid-season, whatever. And, of course, the reason we are intrigued by the 29th of February, that anniversary of the first ever trophy scenario, has been denied.
Denied us by Sky. We were going to actually play on the 29th, but it's been moved to a Monday, which is sort of bizarre night anyway. And yeah, it's really unfortunate. It's really sad because it doesn't the leap years don't come around very often.
Exactly, yeah,
and to actually play a football game at the Riverside on the leap year, it's
2024.
It'll happen next century, perhaps. So thank you.
Yeah. Contributors from Colette Daly, Stanistan, Now Then, The Lizards Jumpers, and, of course, Aramis 74, Gordon Rees, all writing about that. Of course, Clive Fain, he broke his shoulder slipping on ice on Friday, February the 27th, 2004, and 28th. Travelled down to stay with his brother near Aldershot and went to watch Reading beat Sheffield United 2-1 before, obviously, on the 29th, travelling to Cardiff and seeing that fine result for Middlesbrough, 2-1. Yeah, I mean, in actually, I mean, alive for the fact, always be thankful when you look at what happened to our opponents on that day and the state they're in, where basically relegation guaranteed to the second division, I believe. Yeah. So,
Well, and a year ago, they almost didn't exist at all.
Yeah. They almost went along with
Bury.
Exactly. And Macclesfield, I gather, are also facing one or two challenges these days. But
yeah.
Neil Garrett, Mogger, a Borough legend. He will always remember Captain Tony Mowbray hoofing the ball into the air as he led the bleach blonde brigade onto the pitch at Ayresom Park. No handshaking or TV grandstanding, just a statement of intent that he meant business.
Mm.
And certainly his time with Celtic, with West Brom, with Borough, now with Blackburn.
Ipswich as well.
Ipswich, inevitably. I think he much loved Ipswich, actually. Yeah. A lot of Ipswich fans sort of still maintain he was very effective. He's proved that actually he's a good, competent, safe over hands.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's once again at Blackburn, he's managing a team with he's got no money to play with at
all.
Got
a number of chickens though. Sorry, Venkies. Just right. Love you.
He wouldn't want to count them.
No.
Because he's sort of nurtured a really good side, and they're mounting a charge now, a challenge to the playoffs. And we mentioned earlier the 5-0 win away at Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday, who were going so well at that time, weren't they?
Sheffield Wednesday, of course, who hopefully will give up their role in the FA Cup in the fifth round if they've got an interesting tie. I mean, in a sense, it's supposed to be a blessing in disguise. Well, maybe a blessing in disguise, but allowing for, obviously, if Borough had beaten Spurs, then beaten Southampton, he probably would have had to trek down to London to actually stand in the freezing cold actually outside. I can't understand the one show why they do that for the FA Cup draws. It's probably the only time people actually watch the one show. Sorry, when the FA Cup draw is actually on there. But you know when fans, because you have done it, haven't you? You did do it, yeah.
You're right, yeah. We actually rehearsed all afternoon, only to be, because it's live, only for the whole piece to be cut in half. Mm. So it was, and I remember somebody telling the producer at one point that you've forgotten to take into account that there's actually, we all had to stand in certain. Yeah. We had to stand on these X's, and they kept changing the stuff. You've forgotten to take into account that there's a couple of ties that have not been played, so you're actually going to have three people standing there and not two. And it was like, oh, I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
And we'll think about that
and
again.
And that's the reason why whoever takes over from Tony Hall, it may be Rob Nichols, has got a bit of a job on the BBC. That's all I would say.
But if we talk about the one show, I've got a picture in here of myself and Chris Kamara, because I saw Chris Kamara The perks of living at Ayresom Park, Alex. Chris Kamara walked past my house, and I walked out and met him and showed him round Ayresom Park, the various parts, because he was coming back with a film crew to Middlesbrough to look at his roots and where he came
well,
from
now he's
at
a
Park End and Riverside.
Singer,
and,
the likes of
and he's
Sinatra
a singer.
And so on.
Yeah, yeah. So that was sometime this week, I think. It was going to be profiled. Chris Kamara comes back to Middlesbrough.
I have to respond in the only Chris Kamara-esque way. Unbelievable, Rob. Yeah. Unbelievable. From the department of, well, that was a bit mean of Sean Dyche. Why? Why wasn't Ben Gibson, who's not playing for Burnley, why wasn't he allowed back? I mean, I gather he's been spotted at the training ground doing various sort of things from that point of view.
Which his uncle's hotel.
Well, this is true, but you know, he has been seen there and obviously making use of the facilities. But you know, we're talking about obviously squad size and various other bits and pieces. I mean, it's not just Middlesbrough been blown off from that point of view.
No,
but
there've been bids for Ben Gibson as well, haven't there, from clubs? So it's just
It seems an unusual sort of thing where you sign the player. And I know Burnley have probably sorted themselves out in terms of their position in the league.
Yeah, I think they have.
Yeah, I mean,
but his confidence from his lack of match practice in the last two seasons.
I mean, it's not as though he was, shall we say, in the Peter Crouch mould of maybe towards the end of his career.
No.
An impact.
And he
defender.
Was one player that when we stepped up to the Premier League really stepped up himself and looked extremely impressive. Hence the reason for his move. But it's real shame for him.
203 games he played for Borough, none for Burnley this season.
No.
None. And so he's 27, so technically he's at the peak of his career.
Yeah.
It's a £15 million move. I can't quite understand that. I really can't. I mean, I suppose, you know, Joe Hart, sort of similar thing, to move from there. I mean, obviously Joe Hart now, a TV pundit.
He is. He was at Shrewsbury game, wasn't he?
Yeah, Shrewsbury. Almost, but not enough. But I suppose, no, actually, in terms of exciting, that, yeah. the one thing we were talking about, the gift that Barry gave Tottenham, it wasn't quite as bad as the heartache that Love caused, and again,
that
moment, which certainly will go down in FA Cup history in terms of what was he thinking?
Yeah, but they came back.
They did, yes, exactly,
and proved it once again that there is still some sort of magic
in the FA Cup. Yeah. Exactly. Neil Garrett concludes his article on Mogilworth. He will always be woven into the fabric of the club, a true legend. Thomas Bartley, nevertheless, he showed his best on plenty of occasions after the Karanka shift, etc. And he hopes Bartley does at least that Mogga receives a warm reception at the Riverside today. I think he will, actually.
I think he will.
From there. I can't see any problem from that point of view. We mentioned clearly Stuart Downing, but Danny Graham, Richie Smallwood.
Yes.
It's almost like a Borough reunion in many ways, really.
Even the reserve keeper will be Jason Lutweiler from Switzerland, who was our reserve. So
it just shows some of the things that are actually there. Claire Bowdler.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned Claire, I think, for quite some time.
No.
If at all. Today or tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Last day of January, end of the transfer season, or the transfer window onwards. She's particularly looking for Tony Mowbray. Of course, I hadn't realised that Grant Ledbetter, George Friend and Albert Adoma all buys from Tony.
Absolutely. As she's saying, that he laid the foundations for the Karanka promotion team, and that some of those players stayed with us for a long time, and of course George Friend is still with the Borough, fighting his way back to fitness. Should be back in a week or two.
And Ian Smith, as the two that's obviously Woody and Mogga face off this afternoon, Tony Mowbray may well cast an envious eye across at his younger counterpart, but will think nothing of putting one over on him. Such is the esteem Mogga is held in, not least by Woodgate himself, that the current Borough boss will no doubt enjoy his tactical battle, pitting his wits against a hero. An intriguing Teesside tussle, according to Ian Smith. Yeah. And Matt Smith, presumably no relation, or is it the doctor? No. Doctor. Borough Room 101, Eric Paler's irrepressible power of suggestion.
Yes, I think he's homing in on the transfer window when Eric was the portal, to use a Doctor Who sort of term. He was the portal that through which we speculated about about transfers, comings and goings.
No social media in those days.
No
Twitter, no other sort of, no Instagrams, but still.
You waited for that paper to see who we were being linked with, and then sometimes There were some really interesting ones that did happen, and some that certainly didn't.
Wish fulfillment. Mm. That's the key thing from that point of view. So as we continue with our whole system, are we kind of optimistic? I mean, we mentioned the six games in February, which got so many sort of.
I don't remember things. Ever. I looked at this at the start of the season, there, Alex.
No mid-season Premiership great break for Championship sort of players.
It's. I don't think we've ever played six games in February, and
the shortest month. And as we know, it all starts off at the traditional 3 o'clock time against Blackburn Rovers.
Although we won't play six games now because the 29th moves to the Monday.
It's very true. Yes. Actually, one, two, three. That would have been seven games.
Would it have been?
That would have been right, seven. Right. We have six games.
Okay, and it's just as well there was no bad weather this it was so far no bad weather, and also that just as well that we're out of the cup from that point of view of how many games you could play, but
although there's scrap replays in the fifth round these days, so it's traditionally over March, the midweek of March, where the FA Cup is obviously traditional base.
Yeah, true.
So we've talked at length about Blackburn. Two interesting challenges on the road, away to Brentford and away to Wigan, before we welcome Luton Town to Middlesbrough for, I think, the first time they've been at the Borough, possibly since the 74 season, when they also went up with Borough and Carlisle.
The first time they've been here since the final game at Essen Park.
You're right, of course. Yes, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe
2-1 again.
An interesting line there. And things, again, it's a funny game, as people have actually said. Brentford are going to be a challenge. I mean, Blackpool are going to be a challenge, obviously.
Yeah, Brentford are, I think a lot of people's sort of dark horses tip at the start of the season. They just seem to sort of have a production line of players that you think about Maupay now at Brighton, that really attractive players. They play really good football. And
going to a new stadium.
Absolutely, this will be our last chance to go to Griffin Park.
Yeah.
It's taken in London Stadia take a lot longer to build.
And I was going to say they are the only London based club that Luton, not really Greater London, really. Luton's
no,
Hertfordshire,
just outside.
Basically, that's right. But other than that, it's pretty much Lancashire and Yorkshire that are the battles.
Yeah,
of course, being Blackburn and Wigan, and Yorkshire, Barnsley and Leeds United.
And there are a few of those clubs that you mentioned there that are tussling for to try and get out of relegation spots, aren't they? So we need to continue to keep that distance between us. And we've got the opportunity to do that. You could look at it that way, couldn't you? You could put one over on Wigan, Luton and Barnsley.
Yeah. And you'd probably do Stoke City a favour as well, if you're looking at that. Stoke City are kind of happily sort of beginning to emerge since they got the Northern Ireland manager to actually sort of work through that process.
Michael O'Neill.
So how can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine?
Well, first of all, you can buy it at the match.
You can, of course.
that would
exactly.
be good.
Yeah.
It's a
glorious cover of both Woodgate and Mowbray.
Yeah.
The whole thing with T-Siders.
T-Siders. Yes, you can still subscribe to the last three because after this one, there'll only be three left. And if you have checks to Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7 Brentnell Centre, Jilt Street, Middlesbrough, TS1, 5AP, or look for the website fmttm.com and click on subscribe. I'll change it on
and,
there.
And obviously, updated. A happy hello, as we always say, to Red Army folk. If you ever sort of get in contact with us, then feel free to do so. You can use the same sort of details or online stuff, various other things. We'll save the Frank Quadru number for our next podcast, because our next podcast will be, hopefully, and last time I said this, of course, little did we expect a kind of catastrophic systems failure to take out the studio where I was from where Rob happened to be. But there we are. Yeah, that's the whole thing. But all being well, and let's assume we're not having a Valentine's Day massacre, on the 14th of February, just ahead of Borough's game against Luton Town, we'll be able to reflect on what hopefully will be three wins. You know, 2-1 against Blackburn, 1-0 against Brentford, and then 2-1 against Wigan.
I like that. And let's hope that we're also looking ahead to a game that's equal to the first game of the season against Luton, which was a phenomenal start.
3-3?
Yeah, it was a tremendous end to end with a missed penalty as well, of course. Yes,
which, as I believe Woody said, would have been given if VAR had been there. But you know, be careful what you wish for with respect to VAR.
Yeah, and of course we missed a penalty against Birmingham, so it could have been very different there as well. But yes, let's hope we can put one over in Blackburn. Looking forward to seeing Tony Mowbray coming back and Stuart Downing, who performed brilliantly for Middlesbrough, I think, over the years, and our 35 caps for England as well. So we haven't mentioned him too much today, but we need to applaud one of the all-time greats. And Tony Mowbray will always be a legend, especially to people of my generation and your generation, Alex, for the way that he led the club back under Bruce Rioch.
He sat in the very same seat you're sitting in at present, Rob. He did a number of shows with us here. Actually, five back in the day. So I tend to speak to Tony probably every 15 years. So I'm not really due now to speak to him until probably about 2029.
Okay. You need to keep to that.
Exactly. But other than that,
keep it regular.
It's exactly. It's always reliable.
Know where you are.
Precisely.
It is what it is, as he might say.
That's it. I mean, how much more profoundness can we actually put into a podcast? Frankly, none, apart from those final words that we always wrap up every Fly Me to the Moon podcast with. 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.